Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Steve Canavero. He's the interim superintendent of public instruction for the state of Nevada. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Connie McMullen, Mylon Hawkins, and John Galtney. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one cause of death,
disability,
and rising health care costs
in the United States. Today,
more than 86%
of our health care spending goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising health care costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the program Steve Canavero. He's serving as the interim superintendent of public instruction for the Nevada Department of Education. Pleasure to have you back on the program. Oh, not back, but for the first time on the program.
Yeah, thank you.
So how is it going? You're the interim. Do you want to be the permanent?
So I am serving as the interim, and I will put my hat in the ring for the permanent role. And I believe the job closes, the recruitment closes in a week or so, approximately, and the state board anticipates having this on their agenda in January. So,
what guidance did you get when you came into this position? You were already working for the department, but Dale Urquiaga was there before you. You've got Elaine Wynn as the chairman of the board. Mm-hmm. What guidance and direction did they give you coming in?
Full gas. Keep the pedal down to the floor. Continue to work. Obviously, I was working for Dale, joined Dale as the deputy superintendent for student achievement about 2 years ago. So I was able to be in the office with Dale and work side by side with Dale and the other deputies in the governor's office as we helped flesh out the agenda and the reform package, helped move that through the legislative session, advocate for, work with the department staff, work for with the organization, the agency, and reorganizing the agency to try to get this work done that we anticipated being passed. Obviously, didn't prepare to be as successful as we were, but incredibly successful.
Absolutely.
And so now we have a tremendous opportunity, but also a tremendous burden at the Department of Education to implement the programs.
So what's the biggest burden?
I think the sheer breadth of the legislative package and the investments that we have, I think that's it's not really a burden, but it's an obligation that we have to ensure it's done correctly and to ensure we work with our district partners to have the measures of accountability that we know need to be in place to bring back to the legislature, to bring back to the governor, to bring back to the state board. You asked about President Wynn. And then to ensure that we also have at the same time the reform that we that the legislature passed, that we keep that in place so that we don't continue to allow for underperforming schools, and that we can put in the robust reforms that need to be put in place in order to have it all successful.
And we're seeing a lot of success, for example, in the turnaround zones in Clark County. And are you pleased with the direction that that's going in?
Well, certainly, anytime we see movement, positive movement in schools that have historically underperformed and persistently underperformed, we're obviously happy about that. You know, I tend to want more, even when we get 3 to 4 percentage point gain in graduation rates. I still view that as perhaps not enough when we consider that you know, behind those statistics are children. And they are lives. These are futures. These are, you know, generations of children that we're raising. And so anytime we move from 48 to 63%, well, that's incredible. And that's a lot of children in their lives who are affected. But that also leaves a tremendous gap between where we want to be and where we are.
And one of the biggest problems, I would imagine, and I'm not sure how you interact with this particular portion, because I know this is the school districts, but the shortage of teachers. I mean, in the Clark County School District, missing 1,000 teachers, that's huge.
It's incredible, and it's a crisis that Clark County has called itself and upon itself, and we recognize that. The State Board, President Wentz, had a number of strong statements regarding this. The State Board has taken up this issue, and to try to appreciate, you know, everybody has their lane. And responsibility in addressing this issue. I appreciate the notion that it's, you know, there's a, obviously we don't sign any contracts, we don't offer employment. It is predominantly a local issue, but it's a statewide issue when we consider the effect that those shortages have and those effects that shortages have in some of our most at-risk schools. It's exacerbated, and so the State Board has taken it upon itself. The governor has been very clear to me. What are we going to do about this?
And so your response?
I'll give you the exact response. When we had the opportunity to weigh in on the direction or criteria for the Teach Nevada scholarships, so there's governor's initiative. We have, I think, $2.5 million each year, the biennium, to offer scholarships to teachers. And one of the legislative and investments that we made during the legislature, acknowledging that we didn't find out about the teacher shortage 2 months ago. We've had sort of signals that and it's been a persistent issue. So the State Board, we offered to the State Board a couple of choices, and one choice was invest in alternative route to licensure programs, approve programs that we already have in the state.
Back up, what does that mean?
An alternative route to licensure program provides basically the fastest track to teacher licensure for individuals who have degrees. So it is an opportunity, it's a fast track, if you will. They can take their coursework while they simultaneously work in the schools. And so the State Board elected, and the governor was supportive of using all of that money in this first round to support, I think, 134 scholarships to put teachers in the classroom as fast as possible through the ARL program.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back with much more on this topic after this.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Cannavaro. He is serving as the interim superintendent of public instruction for the Nevada Department of Education. So this whole charter school deal, where you've got these situation where the kids have to go into the regular school system for 100 days before they can qualify to go into these charter schools or even religious schools. What are your thoughts on how this is going? And we should say that the reason that this was done was that the state couldn't afford to take every child that would or parent that would want to take their children out of the system. So now you're putting kids into the regular system, and then you're going to yank them out 100 days later with potentially no guarantee that there will be even a space for them at the schools that they currently go to.
Yeah, so Sam, I believe your sort of general analysis is correct. So I think you're referring to the education savings account. Mm-hmm. That's really a part of the treasurer's office and the treasurer's initiative. The Department of Ed has sort of a limited role in that particular program. We do have an agreements with the treasurer's office that we share information to ensure that students aren't double counted, and also to fulfill the requirements that you're referring to, the 100-day requirement that, like you had characterized, is there really to protect sort of the budget, essentially, in knowing that the state could not necessarily afford to move the state's portion of the aid to a private setting or private school in mass, that we would have to use the 100-day requirement. I don't know how that's presently working. I just know that we're sharing data with the treasurer's office. I do pay attention to the regulatory hearings just to make sure that we have our points covered. You know, I think it's one of a couple of choice programs that were passed during this legislative session. I think consistent with the governor's concept of choice, he passed the Opportunity Scholarship, which provides a similar structure, but it's it's where companies can take a tax credit once approved by taxation, and instead of paying that tax to the state up to a $5 million cap, so we have sort of protections in place there. That money is then sent from the company to a scholarship granting organization, and then that organization accepts applications from students that and families that meet the 300% poverty level to go to private school or to go to or to offset or defray costs at a traditional public school.
Okay, but I guess my question is really, what's the effect on the student that they're being pulled out of, for somebody to qualify for state money, that they're being pulled out of the school that they're going to and then going into the regular school system. So now you've got a loss to the charter school, you've got a gain to the school district, but then 100 days later, they get pulled out of that, you've got a complete reverse. It just seems to be a very ungainly way of doing this and not a benefit to the student necessarily.
Yeah, I I'm not part of the sort of the rulemaking or the sort of the back the legislative history on that on the education
I guess
savings account.
I get what you're saying.
My personal opinion is it's incredibly disruptive. As a parent, I wouldn't necessarily choose that track. I think it's a track that my impression and my opinion is a track that folks are taking if they have been in the private setting. Private school setting, and now that this opportunity, the education savings account exists, and they're using that as an opportunity to come into the public the public education arena for 100 days, whether it's at a charter school or whether it's at your local school, to rack up your 100 days, and then to move back to the private setting in order to access the ESA. It's disruptive. It's not a choice that I would make necessarily as a parent. It's not necessarily a choice that I would, suggest is the best choice. But then again, those are decisions that families make. And I can understand it's disruptive. I've heard from a few schools who are receiving students. They're coming in with a clear intention and clear communication from the parents that they're just going to be moving back again. And it's a challenge. It is a challenge. It's not something that I would necessarily do personally.
HBO just put out a new documentary on the Latino population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fascinating documentary. If you get a chance to watch it, you really should. But the statistic that's the most striking is that by the year 2050, one in three people in the United States will be of Hispanic origin.
Mm-hmm.
How does this play into the school instruction? I mean, we're already a majority-minority population in southern Nevada,
yep.
But we're going to be getting that way across the entire state.
Absolutely. No, the demographics in our state have shifted clearly over the last few years. What hasn't really shifted with the demographics is our system of public education, recognizing that we have a high population of English language learners, a high population of transient students. Those are all factors that we have to take into consideration. Last session, the legislature enacted the Zoom School Initiative, which allows for additional funding for schools with a high population of English language learners. We know that we hold high expectations for all of our children, absolutely, without relief, but that we have to provide additional supports to students who are acquiring the English language or acquiring the English language to such an extent that they can access the content, the academic content.
But also, if I can jump, we've got about a minute here left. But there's also a tremendous advantage here of having people who speak multiple languages
mm-hmm.
within the school system. And does it not become at some point where we should be mandatory teaching Spanish in our schools as well? So that Anglo students get the benefit of what will be huge commerce. One in three.
Yeah, one in three. And
that's a big number.
It's a big number, and everything would point us in that direction. There are a number of dual language, dual immersion, biliterate, bicultural programs across our state. There are not only Spanish immersion, but there are Mandarin
Correct.
Immersion courses and schools, which I think are phenomenal,
yes.
Absolutely phenomenal. Whether or not it's something that we would say writ large is part of the public ed system or opportunities for families to engage in, I'm more on the opportunities for families to engage in and choose those type of programs.
Okay, we're out of time, but will you come back? We've got lots more to talk about.
I'd love to. I appreciate having me.
My pleasure. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you. Because trucks move America forward.
Looking for a new career? You should consider a stable career as a heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration technician.
After I graduated from CCNN, I felt really confident because I started getting all kinds of job offers and all kinds of job interviews. And I felt like I actually had the techniques and I had all the skill from the school to actually do the jobs that I was applying for. Well, I feel really good about actually having a career that I can build my life around. I've never had an actual skill that I can actually anchor myself to that can just take me to so many different places. What I like about CCNN is they really help you find in yourself what you can actually succeed in. Well, obviously the best thing that's happened to me since graduation is getting a career.
Start your career as a heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration technician now by calling CCNN at 775-583-4696. 775-583-4696.
Fact. Advil pain relievers are used by more households than any other leading brand. To treat their aches and pains, more people reach for Advil. Relief doesn't get any better than this. Advil.
Pain not sitting too well? Burning to feel better? Itching for relief? Preparation H offers the most maximum strength solutions for all hemorrhoid symptoms. From the brand doctors recommend most, Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Bad News Makes. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mylon Hawkins is here, Vice President of Interface Computer Associates. John Galtney is President Emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College. And Connie McMullen is publisher of the Senior Spectrum magazine. I don't think there's any other topic today, as we're taping this the day after San Bernardino. And what's your response, Mylon?
Well, John and I were talking earlier about this. I think we do not have a well-ordered militia. And that's what our Second Amendment starts out with. And we need to do something systemic in this country, and I think it has to come from the people itself, to change the way we think about guns. It's not going to come from the government. It has to come from the people themselves. That's my opinion. Because if it comes from the government, people will say, oh, you're taking away my Second Amendment right. But if people say, enough is enough, we want this to happen, then government has to move.
Okay, John, is that a reality?
Well, the Second Amendment is lifeblood to a lot of people, so there's a high amount of emotion involved in this issue. The president said, if you can't fly someplace, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. Well, there's no Second Amendment against flying somewhere. There's certainly a difference between those two issues. I tend to concur on the issue of something has to be done. There's no absolute right. You can't cry fire in a theater, in a crowded theater, even though you have a right of freedom of speech. You can't own a gun and leave it out and let it be a vehicle by which other people are hurt. There has to be some limits here. So even though I believe in as much freedom as we can possibly have, I believe also that there's a limit on the ownership of guns.
And Connie, yet again, these guns were legally purchased, so that isn't even an issue at this point in time.
You know, I own a gun, Sam. That's the last thing I would think. If somebody came in my house, I would have to remember to go get it. The problem here is mental health. There's a combination of things. People's access to bomb-making equipment, the lack of mental health. There has to be a reason why this is occurring on such a mass, widespread level, especially in younger people. They're resonating something. I'm not quite sure what it is, but there certainly needs to be a more better understanding of the social dynamics that are happening today, along with mental health. The mind is a very misunderstood thing. There has to be some commonality there that's going on.
And I don't disagree. Mylon, do you not think that there is a fear amongst a certain strata of the population in this country that with what's going on with government, with their government's lack of ability to get things done, and a fear certainly of this president that from the get-go that he was going to take away their guns, and therefore there was a huge increase in the sale of guns, and the cost of ammunition went through the roof?
Absolutely. Yeah. And there is a segment of our population that does have a vigilante set of mind. And that gets into also mental health. You're coming at me. There's the paranoia. And that is ginned up, unfortunately, by certain aspects of the media, so that people become more and more fearful. And one of our friends is retired FBI. He doesn't think that most people who have guns should own them because they don't even know how to use them properly. So there is a compound problem that we are faced with. And violence, we have mass killings every single day. We just don't hear about all of them. If they happen at a public facility, we hear about it. But if five people are shot in a home in Arkansas, nobody hears about that.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with you on that, because unfortunately the news media is quick to jump on the police blotter, whether it be fire or situations like this, because it's readily accessible. And, you know, one of the problems, we saw this with 9/11, is that these incidents occur once, but they are shown on television and repeated on the radio over and over and over. And this creates even more paranoia within the people watching, and anger and frustration.
Yeah, I'd like to, and I realize that I have an emotional stake in what I'm about to say, but in this morning's paper, there was an article about the police being merged at TMCC and Truckee Meadows. I'm deeply concerned about that issue. The response time for the students and faculty protection at TMCC is being badly damaged by that. There is a discussion of $500,000 of savings, which if you look behind the screen is probably somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000. And this would not be such an emotional subject if it wasn't for yesterday, if you follow what I'm saying here, Sam.
My thought, and we only have about 10, 15 seconds here left, is coming from England and a non-gun society in general to the United States, it seems that there are so many guns out there that the horse has already left the barn.
That's true. But, you know, Sam, I listened to the police scanner on just our community over the weekend. We have so much crime here, and people aren't even using guns. And some of the crime that we're having, it's just repetitive. The police resources are from here to there, from here to there. We can't keep up with what's going on.
That's where we have to leave it. Yeah. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
2020 hindsight. The ability to look back and clearly see what you've missed.
In this case, you wouldn't be happy about it.
Unless you're heading back to more furniture and taking advantage of 0% financing till January 2020 with a discount equal to sales tax.
So don't look back at this amazing offer and regret missing out.
Offer extended through this weekend.
This time, have no regrets.
No regrets at more furniture for less.
It's a hometown original. We made it better. Come see what makes it Gold Dust. Use the ATM for free.
We won't charge you.
Just look around. We've made it better. A fresh new look for you and your friends.
Gold Dust West.
New.
House full of friends.
We made it better. Come see what makes it Gold Dust.
Get the Charter Spectrum Triple Play. It's more than meets the eye. With over 200 free HD channels available, it's the most HD you can get. Instant access to over 10,000 on-demand movies and shows. Plus the Charter app for live TV that jumps to mobile devices in any room. All for $29.99 a month, plus free DVR service. Switch to Charter Spectrum Internet. Faster than the speed of WoW. Take off with 60 megs of speed. Bandwidth that lets multi-people multitask, stream movies, play games, watch videos, and share Vines all at once. No slowdowns. Shazam! For only $29.99 a month, just call 877-959-1634. Then pick up Charter Spectrum Voice for unlimited local and long-distance calling. And catch this. No drop calls. Stuck in a contract? Charter pays up to $500 to get you out. Charter Spectrum TV, Internet, and Voice, $29.99 a month each. Plus free DVR service. Call 877-959-1634.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next podcast.